to the first hour this Tuesday, November 15th, 2016, 1 week after a remarkable and historic election cycle climax, one might say. Interesting. Things just get stranger and stranger. So I mentioned the DC vote, kind of ancillary to other points. By the way, we'll open up the phone lines this hour. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So the DC vote. Voters in the District of Columbia passed a measure on Tuesday, last Tuesday, in favor of petitioning Congress to become a state in the Union. And 79% of voters voted yes to petition Congress for statehood. And so that's interesting. And as I said in the last segment of the final segment of the first hour, what does the Constitution say about this patch of dirt? Article 1, Section 8 gives the legislative powers, the Congress and the Senate, the ability or the authority to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 square miles or 10 miles square as may by session of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, docks, yards, and other needful buildings. And there is no mention of statehood. But this is the place to become the seat of government. It's interesting. Now we have, and what was the purpose of that? Now, not only has it expanded its powers and authority extraordinarily ethereal sort of almost existential terms and fashion, but now it wants to do the same physically. Interesting. And as I mentioned yesterday, just to kind of reiterate what I mentioned on this subject yesterday, folks don't realize the inversion that has taken place. As Lee Brobst would put it, it's a conflict of laws that we see. You have, on one hand, the common law, God's laws, and the ultimate supreme law of the land, in that sense, you might say, is Matthew 7:12, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have do unto them. For, you know, the law and the prophets are all summed up in this, as Jesus put it. Love one another is another way to put it. It's a sentiment that's expressed a variety of ways in the Bible. We call it the golden rule. This concept is referred to broadly as the royal law, the law of liberty, the law of Christ, etc., etc. It's referred to in a variety of ways, but it's the same thing, same concept. So you have that, be on your best behavior and do right by one another. Love one another. Do unto others as you would have done unto you, the golden rule. So under the common law, as I said, you know, the Constitution outlines express powers granted to government and all rights reserved to the people. And as I said, the Declaration of Independence and the Ninth Amendment are kind of bookends in that discussion. Rights reserved to the people, including but not limited to what's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, what's mentioned in the first 10 amendments, or the first 9 perhaps. Government there, therefore, is restricted, and the people are left to their own volition in non-compulsory fashion. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Not to be compelled or forced to do things. The government is restrained, bridled and restrained, and bound down, as Jefferson might say, bind them down with the changes of the Constitution. And who is to be bound down? I mean, we've talked about that. That was the purpose of the specific lines that were drawn in the sand, the specific boundaries that were made in the Constitution. As Thomas Jefferson put it, in his draft of the Kentucky Resolution, and we have lost sight of this. You know, people again, as I said yesterday, this notion of vigilante justice that has just been so deeply inculcated, so deeply ingrained in the American people, some person is going to ride in on a white horse and save us all. That has danger written all over it for a variety of reasons that I have tried to mention, from the founders to Friedrich Hayek. We go to sleep. The American people get weaker and weaker, more anemic, more gelded and inert, while those coming to power, because of the organizing and the regimenting of society, the planning and the organizing, as Hayek mentioned, which we see more of, which gets to the mechanization and globalization fears mentioned by CNN in Obama's conference over in Greece. The person who comes to power, as Hayek put it, will continually press the envelope on those issues. So Jefferson said, and there are other reasons for the danger, but the point is, the bottom line is, as Andrew Jackson put it, eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty. That's just the bottom line. Eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. And as Thomas Jefferson put it, it would be a dangerous delusion were confidence in the men of our choice, whomever that may be, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, whomever, the Gary Johnsons of the world, anybody, same danger. Be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism, Jefferson wrote. Free government is founded in jealousy and not confidence. It doesn't matter who it is. Free government is founded in jealousy. We should remain jealous always, regardless of who the person on the white horse riding in is, because that's obviously, you know, a fallacy, an erroneous notion. It is jealousy, Jefferson wrote, and not confidence, which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down whom? To bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power. And he said, accordingly, you know, our Constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no further our confidence may go. And he said, he wrote, let no more be heard of confidence in man, bind him down for mischief by the changes of the Constitution. That is a phrase that has been spun particularly since the late 20th century and coming into the 21st century, to imply that it is the people who need to be bound down. No. The Constitution grants, it's very simple. The Constitution grants limited powers to government, very clearly demarcated limited powers to government, while reserving all of the respective rights to the people, the God-given, unalienable, inherent rights in the people. Those are reserved to the people. We know what we, some people have been victimized. Some people have, yes, they have in the American historical narrative. They clearly have. But we know that now. And in the information age, can't we all learn and do better? Can't we grow and do better as a result of these realizations? Why don't we have in, you know, the fashion of some of these, you know, Google Book Project, for example, gobbling up all of the knowledge that's ever, everything that's ever been written, or, you know, projects like Project Veritas. Things just seem to become one propaganda outlet after another. Why can't we have a grassroots think tanky type organization where people search things out together, compare their homework, and we all learn and grow and get better? Why is that not possible? And again, it's because of the same apathy and the socialist forces that are at work are the same socialist forces that cause us to go to sleep on these issues. You go back to the Yale experiments from the 1930s on the rats that proves this. If people are like rats, and hopefully we're not, but apparently we exercise some of the same social functions, sadly, but we should be able to learn and grow and do better. It's the same issue. So we have this conflict of laws, as Libros would say. The Constitution, people don't understand what they're talking about. You know, I think to his credit, Donald Trump was right when he said, people don't know me. Well, it would be nice to get to know you and to know clearly what you intend and where you think the limits of presidential or executive power, how far those limits reach. So express powers granted to government, limited powers granted to governments, government all rights reserved to the people, government restricted, restrained, bridled, bound down, as Jefferson put it, by the chains of the Constitution, and the people then left to their own volition. Under this administrative, ministerial, and inquisitorial communitarian law nonsense that we have, this growing, this rise of the communitarian nonsense, which is just really kind of, you know, as Nicky Rupano would perhaps put it, you know, if you don't understand it, then you understand it. It's kind of like fiat law, as I say. It is as I say, and they just kind of make it up as they go, sort of. It's very malleable. It's very manipulative. It's very public policy oriented. But it's designed to favor one small group of intriguers, social manipulators, and to essentially press every other class of society into a little homogeneous globule, a little homogeneous mass, you know, a pasty, androgynous, hermaphroditic, well, kind of like the devil, I would say, you know, basically remaking society in the devil's image. Pasty, androgynous, hermaphroditic mass. Homogeneous mass. That's what communitarian law is doing, pressing out the extremism of society. So let's define terms. What constitutes extremism? Well, if your beliefs deviate from the mainstream, aha, So under this administrative, ministerial, and inquisitorial communitarian law nonsense, which is, again, to kind of illustrate, under the common law, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. Under this administrative, ministerial, inquisitorial, papers, please, what we see America transitioning to, communitarian law, the presumption of guilt until you're proven innocent, and you're never going to be proven innocent. How do you deflect the presumption of guilt? And that's why everyone in America is starting to feel like that. That's why people driving down the street, when they see law enforcement, oh, there's a law in the book somewhere that you're violating. Make no mistake about it. You know, we've played the clip of Andrew Rage at the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum that was covered by C-SPAN, aired by C-SPAN, where he said basically that there's a law somewhere that we're all violating on the books. And he said, you know, I was loading my car. And you heard that, right? He was loading his car one day, left his car door open, and someone hit it. And he thought, for sure, you know, that was they were in the wrong. Well, guess what? There was a law that said he couldn't leave his car door open. I think it was New York. He didn't know that. So in an ministerial inquisitorial system, a feudal system, you are presumed guilty until proven innocent. And a lot of times in that system, the further it goes, you're really not proven innocent until after you're dead. You're sent to the gallows or the guillotine, and after the fact, when your head's in the basket, they realize you're innocent. Oops. Ah, well, shoot. I hate it when that happens. That's too bad. This is where America is heading. Express privileges and immunities, what are called rights, referred to as rights, issued to the people by the administrative fourth branch. Oh, thank you, administrative fourth branch. Thank you. Whatever it can give, it can take away. And it gives only at the expense of its citizenry. So how does it fund giving? In order to give you five, it takes seven from you, maybe more. Calls to mind that peculiar phrase, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound. Wait a minute. When it creates rights in individuals against itself, issuing these privileges and immunities against some imaginary balance sheet, what's happening? When the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. That is the operative phrase used since the Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering case in 1875. Derivations of that phrase and variations of that phrase have been used over and over again. Justice Brandeis in 1919, United States versus Babcock, said these general rules are well settled. Close your lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants. and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
I want to go to the phones here in a second, but you know, I wanted to play a broader clip of Obama's address of a specific question. You know, and I would encourage you to watch that. We might just have to play that tomorrow. What was interesting is in the context of what I mentioned in the last segment, Obama used a lot of what I would call communitarian rhetoric. Very duplicitous, very ambiguous, talking about what I'm saying. You know, he said, for instance, humanity, the future of humanity and the future of the world is going to be defined by what we have in common as opposed to those things that separate us and ultimately lead us into conflict. And that sounds nice on the face of it. Sure, we all want to kind of embrace one another, you know, arm in arm. We want to kind of band together arm in arm. And I would say, yes, we want to seek or look for those things that that we have in common. The things that unite us, I would say, instead of the things that we have in common. The things that unite us. In America, we should look to those things that unite us. But those things that we have in common is a dangerous sort of catchphrase, because when you get pressed through the press of this homogenous amalgamation, and it presses out all of what they call extremism, differentiating, you know, different views and traditions and things like that, then it becomes troubling. Then there is force, forcing people to be like, and that's the communitarian way, in essence. So there is some very disturbing rhetoric. I wanted to get to some of that. It's interesting what he says about how you know, what he said about change. Very interesting. Anyway, let's go to the phones, though, without further ado, and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Okay, had to hit the mute button. You there?
Hey, Renee.
Okay. I think people need to consider why Trump won this election, okay? Because actually he has the lowest post-election approval rating ever. And let me tell you, the Democrats, the people like Cenk Uygur and Jimmy Dore, they're not mad at Trump, no. They want the DNC's, Wasserman Schultz or whatever, and then now Donna Brazile, they want their head on a stick, okay? Because when you the way they blocked Bernie, because really Trump won, okay, on the Democratic side, you had just two candidates. It's almost like there was a backroom deal made, because how come you had 17 on the Republican side and two on the Democrat side? It's almost like they made her backroom deal, said, look, oh, it's Hillary's turn. Look, we'll run Bernie against her. Okay, you know, it's like you'll never have a chance, okay? And then, because there were 17, but and you see the way, to Trump's advantage, the way he was against 17 corporatist Republicans, obvious establishment government corporatist Republicans, it divided all that. You see where he kind of picked off one at a time. See, the thing is, the reason, including the left, hates Hillary is because she's a corporatist, obvious corporatist. There is a populist uprising, and it was really in both the Democratic and the Republican Party, okay? Now, the Democrats cheated and knocked Bernie out, okay? And they ran their corporatists where Trump beat out all those others and ran their closest thing to a populist. I hear the music. Hold me over.
Yeah, there wasn't really a strong Republican candidate. And again, this gets to the point that Hayek made in the Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. The strongest candidate who can get things done. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app. a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, just a week after the historic climax of the latest national election cycle. We're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina on the line, and Renee, you were making a point about Republicans and Democrats, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, both parties are paying attention to the donors, not the voters. They're both corporatists. You see, the Clintons, what they do, they distract people. A lot of times stuff the Republicans could not get through because the Democrats would stand up against them. Then they put a Republican in office like either one of the Clintons, and they slide through. It's just like the anti-war left went to sleep when Obama got in office. And it makes me mad when both sides do it, and I see it's going to be happening with Trump, with some of these Trump supporters. I hear it already. Some of these people, you know, they're just, they don't want to see certain things, you know, and it makes me, I'm an independent, so it makes me mad when both sides do it. You know, where if they, and I'll be the first to be cheering if he does something great, but I'm not going to be like some of these people. When he does something wrong, I'm going to say it, okay? Where a lot of these other people, well, it's not his fault, it's the liberals, you know? And so the thing is, and both sides do this. They go to, if it's their guy, they make excuses for the wrongdoing. And that's why we can't get out this darn trap. And so I see it happening
already. That's part of how the system works. As I've mentioned, the Stockholm Syndrome works very effectively because the person who gets elected usually turns around and attacks their constituency, at least somewhat, if not predominantly. And it's those same folks in Stockholm Syndrome fashion who then turn around and say, well you know, I mean, they defend and protect their kidnapper, and that's kind of how that psychological machinery works, unfortunately.
Well, and you know, and let's face it, I'm sorry, I'm gonna keep my eyes open. Well, I see a lot of people on the right, they're already shutting their eyes, and I'm keeping mine open because you know, and let me tell you something. this is one of the things I'm most nervous about, particularly since right-wing, even alternative right, will never talk about those accounts for national policy people. Let me tell you, those people, a lot of those, particularly those dominionist evangelicals, they are globalists. They are globalists, okay? As long as it will be Christian men who are in charge of the world. They are by stealth trying to take over the United States and then the world. And so the thing is, a lot of these people who pretend that they're not globalists, they are, as long as they get to be in charge of the globe. You see? And nobody ever wants to talk about these little boogers, okay? Like Ted Cruz is way up high on the list, so I was thrilled to see his get his behind kicked, okay? Rick Perry's another one of them. There is a bunch of them. And like I say, but this Council for National Policy, it's like a taboo subject on the right, you know, because I'm sorry, all these people claim to tell the truth, and we give it straight. They are biased, too, and they will protect their own. And there's a lot of wealthy conservative Christians in that Council for National Policy. Because in many ways, when you look at this, you know, this is pretty sad. Much of the coalition that got Trump elected, neo-Nazi, Duke said it's one of the happiest days in his life ever. He's so jubilant. The neocons and the evangelicals, of whom some of those are dominionists. Now, if that don't scare people, I don't know what would. That's a coalition that is dangerous. So the thing is, and I am not a liberal. I am not. Like I say, I'm an independent. But I consider myself to be realistic here. The thing is, and see, you're the one of the ones that's more open to see the danger. See, a lot of them, they only want to see the danger on the other side, and they don't want to see the danger on their side. And you're one of the only ones that realize, look, yeah, and you and I'm sure we'll both acknowledge, yeah, Trump could do some good things, and I am going to be tickled pink. But there's also room where things could go bad. The things I'm surest he will do right are the things, if it is something that is in our best interest, but is also where it's going to be in his best interest, oh, yeah, we can pretty much bank on that, okay?
Right.
But, like, he's wanting his kids to still run his business instead of going in a blind trust, but he also wants them to have security clearance. Excuse me? Isn't that right, having their foot in both camps? You know, now they're denying it now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just, like you say, I refuse to close my eyes to the dangers on this, and I see it happening, except for, like, you.
Well, that's why I keep saying what I say.
As far,
right.
You know who won the brighter bump, too?
Example,
Dr. Talawi. Dr. Talawi sees it coming.
That's why I mentioned Jefferson's words, you know, jealousy and not confidence. When we, you know, we should be suspicious of everyone. We all should be, whether Trump is your guy or not, whether Hillary is your woman or not. We should all remain. We should maintain that healthy level of skepticism and remain jealous, as Jefferson put it. And so, as I keep saying, it's this ideological struggle that continues on, this notion, this erroneous notion that some person on a white horse is going to ride in and save the country. Obama spoke to the issue of change in his conference in Greece, and those are some interesting remarks as well. Sometimes, as he put it, if I could just go back to the transcript real quick, he said just a few minutes in, and I wanted to play that, but he said he doesn't think the country moves, history doesn't move in a straight line. It zigzags, sometimes goes forward, sometimes back sideways. And at times of significant stress, people are going to be looking for something, and they don't always know exactly what it is that they're looking for. This reminds me of Hayek's words in The Road to Serfdom, chapter 10, when he wrote of the demagogue or the political dictator, he will have to increase their numbers by converting more to the same simple creed, here comes the second negative principle, he will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own, but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values, slogans, all that kind of stuff. If it is only drummed into their ears sufficiently loudly and frequently, it will be those whose vague and imperfectly formed ideas are easily swayed and whose passions and emotions are readily aroused who will thus swell the ranks of the totalitarian party. So he says people are looking at times of significant stress. People are going to be looking for something and they don't always know exactly what it is they're looking for, and they may opt for change even if they're not entirely confident what that change will bring. Talks about his worldview and alludes to the fact that Trump has a different worldview. He says he thinks people's worldview. Anyway, he's talking about change and this idea that some savior is going to ride in and save the people is false.
Well, you know, remember the blacks, when Obama was elected, they thought their great black hope had come, okay? And he turned out to be another corporatist helping the donors. And then now, see, that it flipped, and a lot of people think that Trump is their great white hope coming on the horse, okay? But we have to watch, because I have a feeling he's going to be also for the corporatists. And donors, don't get me wrong, they'll throw him a couple of bones, okay? That's what they always do. They throw a couple of bones. But they do, they throw the bones without the money, the bare bones without the money, and they keep the money, the bones with the meat on it, with the money. They do what they want. Like, in other words, what they'll do probably, what Trump will probably do to throw a few bones to his supporters, it's probably going to be on social issues, okay, is what he'll do to make them happy, okay? But the thing is, the stuff about money, he's still going to be representing the donors. The thing is, just like Obama has been silent with the Indians on that pipeline, oh, we'll let it play out and stuff like that. I mean, you know, so he's not doing anything for the Native Americans. And I've heard that the guy that owns the pipeline donated $100,000 to Trump. Okay, and the thing is, I've even heard he is somehow invested in that. Well, if that's true, the Native Americans can forget it. Ain't he? Trump's not going to be saving them either. You know, but people have to realize, people don't understand, racism goes back to the Revolution. And what you see, what's gone down the memory hole is white-on-white racism. Ben Franklin said that he did not want the Germans and the Swedes in America because they were not Anglo-Saxon enough. Oh, yeah. And you see, like, I'm white, okay, and I'm part German, so strike one Ben Franklin there, and I'm also what people call Cajun, which is, or Acadian, which were the French Canadians. There was what they, you know, they call it the French and Indian War, which makes you think that the French and Indians were fighting each other, but that's not how it was. The the British WASP, there were about 2 million of them, and there were only about 60, around Nova Scotia, about 60,000 French Canadians. And so the French Canadians and the Indians had to combine together to fight the British. Well, they lost, okay? And so the Acadians were scattered all over the world. Many of them ended up settling in South Louisiana, where I'm from. So see, you can say my ancestors who were white, okay, were victims of a kind of white racism, okay, where they were the less powerful one and ended up being a victim of the more power. It's about power, okay, and people using power to their own advantage at the expense of others. And so the right thing is, as they pick off the brown people and the black people, right, whites tend to notice less, and I think that's deliberate. But they need to understand, they have in the past gone after you, and they're working their way up to you again.
Well, see, here's the thing. Again, getting back to Obama's remarks in Greece, he said, we have to guard against a rise in a crude sort of nationalism or ethnic identity or tribalism that is built around us and them. And he said, I will never apologize for saying that the future of humanity and the future of the world is going to be defined by what we have in common as opposed to the things that we that separate us and ultimately lead us to conflict. As I said before, I mentioned that he said that, but he went on to clarify, you know, he talked about the Europeans dividing themselves up and emphasizing their differences and seeing a competition between them, the various countries, in a zero-sum way, he said, in the 20th century was a bloodbath. And he mentioned a number of, you know, dividing ourselves along race or religious or ethnic lines is dangerous, not just for minority groups. But, you know, it's balkanization, really. And if we play into the Marxist rhetoric that essentially pits us against ourselves, literally in each group, you know, as Marx infiltrated, for example, the French Workers' Party and turning them against themselves, you know, he ingratiated himself to them and betrayed them even before really he had ingratiated himself to them. This is what we see happening. If we allow ourselves to be played off against one another instead of learning and growing and realizing that, yes, there are instances of victimization in our historical narrative, but we can learn and grow from that. If we don't do that, then we will continue to be balkanized and victimized and played off against one another in Marxist fashion. Anyway,
well, yeah, because,
appreciate your call, Renee. I got to jump back to the phone lines real quick. Appreciate your remarks. And, you know, really, again, I would just underscore all of that with the fact that it's an ideological battle. The more that we drift in the direction of collectivism ideologically and believe somehow that we can get different results, it's that insanity, you know, doing the same thing, expecting different results. We have an ideological flaw in America. That's what I keep trying to point out. And to imagine that things are going to get fixed and we will return to the values that gave rise to the Declaration, Constitution, and Bill of Rights while drifting further and further toward collectivism is just, it's a logical fallacy. It can't happen. One of the other things that I was going to mention before we go back to the phones real quick, you know, the potential Trump cabinet picks, folks that have been mentioned right now, John Bolton, Rudy Giuliani, Newt Gingrich, Bob Corker, Richard Haass, Giuliani, obviously, with his connection to 9/11, direct connections to 9/11, a huge concern. Newt Gingrich and his third way, the Alvin Tofflerite Gingrich, he's an old school insider. Richard Haass, the Council on Foreign Relations guy who wrote that folks need to, or excuse me, the you know, nations need to cede sovereignty. Huge concern. But, you know, this is no surprise because remember back in March of this year, I talked about how Donald Trump held a briefing with Richard Haass, who is the head of the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, again, as I've said, you know, the same insiders predominate the landscape. So it doesn't matter what figurehead is atop the totem, so to speak. We have this ideological flaw in our foundation, and these insiders, these intriguers, really predominate the landscape. Giuliani, Gingrich, Haass, these are all old school bad guys at the very least. Bolton and Corker are suspect as well. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Glenn and Philly in the remaining moments here.
Remaining moments. You're killing me, Chris. I 45 minutes. I've been listening to Renee's shrill, nasal, know-it-all parentally scolding, yelling on a murky microphone for quite some time. She's not going to self-limit, so somebody else has got to limit her. I think that would have to be you. Now I'm up against the break.
We'll be right back. Apologize. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but
back. Final segment of today's broadcast. We're on the phones. We have Glenn in Philly on the line. Glenn, I respect your point, and this gets right to the heart of my point that we all need to be on our own best behavior and not be regulated. I hope that we can get to that place. Anyway.
Well, virtue, what is it you always say? Virtue something in religion, you know, like, you know, and
virtue, morality, and religion.
Morality, yep. Yeah, right. In other words, we're talking about, like, responsible adulthood, you know, like, we have,
exactly.
And I'm sure the founding fathers talked about, you know, a constitutional republic being for a virtuous people, you know.
Yes,
we need to be
exactly.
Not quite so selfish, yeah. But I wanted to address a clear and present danger here. And, I agree that we have to watch, you know, I understand that the two wings on the same evil phoenix, and yeah, there are no heroes, and I get all of that. But sometimes this is very much an exercise in lesser evils. But I think we're, again, in a very precarious time right now. Again, we've had the momentary euphoria of the victorious election. But, you know, the same, we've got the evil fascists and the evil communitarians, you know, on the inside. And you mentioned Richard Haass. And yesterday I was thinking about that jerk, David Gergen. I saw him rebuffed on a news program trying to be, all sympathetic to these violent protesters. Oh, there's poor little, like, trying to paint them as victims. You know, when this New York senator came back, and I just saw it on YouTube. I have to pull it up again. But, you know, rebuffed him a bit, saying, hey, you know, what about, it's the Republican headquarters got bombed and burned in North Carolina. It's the pro-Trump people that are getting beat up. But, you know, it's not the other way around. So, yeah, neither side is a bastion of virtue, but the one side is clearly being worse than the other at the moment. And, you know, right now we have that demon Podesta who's going to try and, meddle with the Electoral College now. And I'm sure that's exactly what he had in mind when he made his little speech on campaign night and told everybody to go home and get sleep, because he's going to try and meddle with it on the other side, on the Electoral College. That's precisely what he's trying to do now.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the Broadway musical 1776. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams getting an argument over whether it should be unalienable or inalienable, and they both cite their credentials, and Adams ends up saying, "I'll speak to the printer about it later." and that's nice. Precisely what Podesta is trying to do. He's trying to speak to the Electoral College about it later.
Yeah,
and we get all these CFR creeps. All the I really don't want to see Trump appointing all these old, you know, William Crystal era Bush, you know, fascists.
Yeah.
Now.
PNAC neocons.
Yeah, Blanche Priebus, who stabbed him in the back and subverted him. You know, it makes
exactly. Exactly.
He's got to be keeping his enemies closer. That's the only thing that makes sense there. Keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, Chris, take care.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate your call. Yeah. And sorry we didn't have more time. To your point about the founders and that virtue, morality, and religion discussion, Adams said it. You have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.